Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and from the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Did the person who asked Jesus, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" Did that person ask the question simply out of curiosity? Or did they ask the question because he or she thought that they were part of the in crowd? Did this person feel safe and secure, thinking that what Jesus was saying about being rejected couldn't possibly apply to him or her? Was this person one of those traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem? Did the questioner think that that membership in Jesus' circle of followers automatically brought dividends with no further work required? Just being with him would be enough. Instead of answering the question about how many people will be saved, Jesus sidestepped the questioner's inquiry. In essence, Jesus told the person to forget about how many people will be on the final guest list for the heavenly banquet, and instead to think about the quality of that person's own discipleship. Jesus said that we're to strive to enter the narrow gate. Our word agony comes from the Greek word for strive. This gives us a sense of the amount of effort that's involved in getting through that gate. The word could be applied to a strenuous athletic effort. The energy, pain, and dedication that athletes put into competitions such as the Olympics, for example. It takes years of extraordinary efforts to get them to the games, something that certainly is like a narrow gate. Jesus calls us to such efforts on behalf of the reign of God because he knows that the goal is certainly worth the effort. In calling us to strive, to work hard, to enter the narrow gate, to be strong enough, the impression that we might get is that if we put enough effort into it, we will definitely enter the reign of God. This thought process states that all that is required is a lot of sweat, work, and perseverance. But we can't overlook the fact that we also need God's grace. Entrance through the narrow gate begins with an invitation from Him. Having heard and accepted that invitation, His grace is the source, energy, and inspiration for us, for our striving. Both the passages from the book of Isaiah and the gospel show how inclusive God's saving outreach is. We may think that we know who's part of the in crowd and who's not, who is worthy and who isn't, but the gospel cautions us not to jump to conclusions and not to be complacent. What kind of logic and world are we being invited into when the first are last and the last are first? That's certainly not the world that we're accustomed to. The gospel passage should suggest that we should let God be God when it comes to deciding who enters through the gate. Jesus reminds us that our concern should be how we're living our lives and what we're doing to enter through that narrow gate. We've heard the gospel, we've accepted Jesus' promises, and we know the difference that God's grace can make in our lives. Now we can strive to reach the finish line thanks to God's help. In Jesus' time, when people consistently ate together, they became part of an inner circle. They were like family members. In the parable, those who were locked out of the house were claiming privilege from Jesus because they said that they belonged to his company, that they ate and drank with him and with his disciples. Although they were right about belonging to Jesus, Jesus said that more is required of those who are to sit at table in the heavenly banquet. More is required of us than membership in our church, our parish, or our community. Salvation is not guaranteed to anyone who claims rights based solely on membership. In the parable, those requesting admission at the door offered even more credentials to get in. They claimed that Jesus taught in their streets and sat among them in their synagogues. But it takes more than just coming to Mass or being able to recite the catechism from memory to truly be a Christian. We have to put Jesus' words into practice. We must be open to all people, to those from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, because everyone who lives a good life, everyone who follows Jesus' command, no matter what their background, will be invited to enjoy the heavenly banquet. That vision must have startled some of Jesus' listeners who thought that they would be among the privileged because they could claim Jesus as one of our own. Jesus tells us that if we are to enter the heavenly banquet, we might be surprised at some of those who are enjoying the feast. We might be surprised at some of those who made it through the narrow gate. To get there, we must start preparing now. We figuratively need a change of glasses because we have to look at the world through biblical lens, and then we must act accordingly.